Welcome to season 4 of Insecure the Podcast. This project is about to take a turn. So yeah. I have so much joy at the same exact time that I have so much devastation. I am split in two, but I'm my whole self. I had a conversation today with my sister about my mother who's dying in real time. And I've been sitting with it. If you listen to me, I've been preparing for this for 5 years. I've been robbing myself of joy for 5 years, planning this woman's death, and not even her death. For 5 years, I've been trying to prepare myself to do this by myself. I've said, well, if I get the call at work, I'll excuse myself and go to the bathroom and I'll do this. Or, on the other side of the call, she died by this. Or, this is what happened. Or, this is what happened. And I've done this for 5 fucking years. And now that I'm 100% sure that all that planning was for nothing, and because I'm seeing in real time what this ending is going to be like. And furthermore, today I decided that the last time I saw my mother will be the last time that I see her. That I just found out that she's in. I cannot see this person. This person has been larger than my life, my whole life, and it's not even in a good way. But I cannot imagine what that would do to my heart to see her small, to see her. I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. I will not do it. I shouldn't do it. I'm trying to determine if me wanting to go see her, because she asked me so clearly if I could come to her house for her 70th birthday, which is in a few weeks. And you know, before she had her emergency open heart surgery, pin that. We were going to try to take her to Vegas, but she's been unwell and belligerent and a loose cannon for so long. It's just like trying to organize something like that just seemed impossible. And the more and more we just like, you know, just give her money. That's all she ever wants anyway. You can buy her a house. It's not enough because she wants the money value. You can buy her a TV. It'll be like, oh, you should have bought gaming of money. It's always about money with her. That's why it's always fucking about money with me. But then she had this surgery and we were like, oh, the trip is definitely not going to happen. So money, money, money. Excuse me. And leading up to that surgery, she was just, there were so many stages, like, oh, we think it's a stent, oh, it's this, oh, it's this, and like, oh, it's going to be a pill for the rest of your life, but you can't drink. My mom's raging is not even the word. My mother is alcohol. And the minute he said you can't drink to take that pill, I was like, aha, that's how she's going to die. Figured it out. But then that turned into full-on open-heart surgery, to which the minute she opened her eyes, she just was hell. The minute she opened her eyes, she was mad that she didn't die. I felt it. And she signed herself out of the hospital early. They said she needed another surgery. She said no to it. She doesn't wear the compression vest you're supposed to wear after having a major open-heart surgery. And she's still a fucking bitch. She's so mean. She's so mean. She's so inconsiderate. She's just not even there. You know, like, I had a conversation with a friend. You know, she spends a lot of time with her mom. And I asked her, I was like, what do y'all do? What do y'all talk about? And she's like, you know, normal mother-daughter stuff. And I said, you know what? And then she said at first, she's like, wait, you don't know. I don't know. I don't know what a mother is. I just know the one that I had. And, I'm in love with her. I love her. I'm in love with her. And I don't even know how. I don't know why. I look at my life and every piece of my trauma, everything I think about myself, everything I don't think about myself, every relationship, everything I've ever done has been wrapped somewhere in what Claudia Beck thinks. How can I be concerned about what she thinks when she doesn't even talk to me? My mom doesn't know anything about me. She doesn't know anything about me. She told me when I was 11. Which she didn't have to say it, because I mean, I somehow was allowed to be molested from the age of 4 or 5. Like, where the fuck are you? Where are you? But I was 11 and she told me to my face that she had already raised her kids and I needed to figure it out. I did. I worked so hard. I worked so hard to not need her. And in that same working hard for her not to, for me not to have to make her parent me, I thought that's what made her proud of me. Look, I don't even have to care about Chloe. She's my favorite. She's my favorite, but I don't have to care about her. I'm her favorite because I'm not her favorite. If I'm your favorite, I would fucking hate to see the ones you don't like, but I do see it because you treat my brother like he is a dog that you just... My dog gets better treatment. I have a sister that is so... amazing. But so... so abused. But I can't tell you their stories because I don't know it. I came on here to say that I just realized that when I saw my mother for the last time alive, she was in a hospital room looking good post-surgery. It was my last day in the city after changing a bunch of plans to get there. The day before, I finally told her, I don't owe you anything, and I walked out because she was so belligerent after having open heart surgery that she was yelling, and I kept watching her heart monitor go up. And I was just like, why can't you? They just fixed your broken heart. Why can't you just... why aren't you grateful for life? For a 68th chance. Like, every day you... I was just so tired. My sister told me she was proud of me because I had that moment. I didn't even realize I needed it. I don't owe her anything. Nothing. Nothing. But every time she needs something, every single fucking time, I showed up because I know how bad her mother was to her. But that does not negate. The word don't even exist for what she did to me. It's not even a word. It's not a word for this. And even that last day I saw her, I hopped into 2-3 Ubers to find her house shoes just for it not to be the right size and just for her to yell at me. And I was like, you know what, I'm leaving. I laid in that bed in that hotel room and I wept to my then partner and I said, I just want peace. I cannot handle anymore. I'm so fragile. I'm so kind. I'm so generous. Like, nobody in my life wants to protect that part of me. Even me, I didn't know how. All I know how to do is be. I give people the world that I just wish somebody would give to me. And yes, I could give it to myself, but I'm tired. Sometimes I feel like I literally don't have anything left for me. But I'm trying every day. I'm doing things I've never done before. I'm trying and I'm doing okay. I'm trying. But I am exhausted. I am exhausted with this. And the news I got today, I finally had to tell my sister, hey, can you please remember I'm the baby of the family? I'm the one out of the three of us, four of us. I'm the one out of the four of us that stayed under her care the longest after she told me she didn't want me. I lived with this woman for 18 years and we were like roommates who didn't like each other. I can't even remember what a day is like. I can't even. All I remember is the letdowns and the disappointments and how she couldn't even find $300 to get me a letterman's jacket when I had won 3 varsity letters. How some of my classmates said, we thought you were emancipated. We didn't even think you had a mother. We've never seen her. How I got dropped off freshman year of college and picked up my senior year. How I couldn't even remotely pursue my dreams of radio and television because I had to find a job that would guarantee me a place to stay, because when I graduated, I had nothing. I worked in a profession that broke so much of me because I just didn't think I had the tools to live alone and figure out finances, because I've always lived in a financial place of scarcity. She stole my dreams. She stole me. From the time she asked me to come to her birthday till today, I've just been talking to my therapist. Listen, my sister is so done with the situation, it scares me how done she is, because she's always been the one not done. But even she's reached the place that I'm sitting in right now, and she's like, we've lied our whole lives to our family, to our friends, to ourselves. We've made up so many stories to make our situation an okay one. There's no way in hell, Chloe Beck, that you were okay because your mother neglected you. You weren't better off. You weren't better off that she neglected you. I was not better off that she neglected me. I was not better off. But I would have been no better if she was there. And that's the breakdown I had today. I was like, if you go see her small and sick and dying, and just if you go look at her like that, it will actually kill you. It will, oh my God. I'm so happy in my life. I have renaissance. I have dear friends that I'm learning to accept. I have a career. I have a calling. I have my dreams again. And I don't have them as dreams. I have them as next chapters. They don't seem far away. And here she is. The final shedding of who I used to be. The final fucking shedding. There is no more ties to that person I used to be other than Claudia Beck. Part of me is terrified. I don't even... Part of me is... What the fuck will my life become when it has nothing to do with her? When I no longer have to worry about her ending because it has happened. When I no longer have to worry if I'll have the amount of money that she asked for when she asked for it, because I keep telling myself she doesn't ask for it every day, so when she asks for it every 6 months, you better have it, because she don't ask you every day. She shouldn't be fucking asking me. She didn't help me get here. I get to change my phone number and erase so many people who don't deserve access to me. I haven't done that because I don't want her to have to learn a new number. But all she does is call me to tell me shit that don't matter. Or to ask me for money. She don't know. She don't ask me. I'm so mad. I'm so angry. I'm so devastated. But I'm so ready for the peace that will come after this pain. I just realized today that the last time I saw my mother is going to be the last time I see her alive. And that is so heavy. That is so heavy. That is heavy. That is so big. And I just walked through this apartment and I said, why are those my two options? See her die in or see her die. I can't go to her. I can't. 70th birthday, here's a cupcake. We can't even sit in her house. We can't even be in her space. It's unwell. She's unwell. We have to surrender her like a fucking dog. I'm not going to stop my fucking life because she's at the end of her. She's the reason why my life is not. She's the reason why I wanted to end my life. But this is the woman who taught me nothing except how to ride a bike. My one fond memory, she taught me how to ride a bike. East Tech parking lot. Pink and purple pastel bike, and she said the words of, when you're pedaling, you just have to pedal with such force that you say, I'm gonna kick your ass. She's like, don't say it out loud, but with every pedal, put that energy behind it. And I learned how to ride a bike. But I was going to say, this is the woman who taught me music. This is the woman who taught me laughter. This is the woman who taught me kindness. She didn't teach me anything. I just watched from a distance. I just watched. She never said, hey, Chloe, this is Aretha Franklin. She's the world's greatest this because of this. I just sat and I watched how Aretha made her feel. And I wanted to feel what my mom felt. Which is why I'm so out of my comfort zone, because I used to have a soundtrack for hard moments because I watched my mom have these fucking depressive, manic, unsafe relationships with songs. And I knew, I fucking knew, y'all hear me? I knew if a certain song played that I needed to hide under my bed. I knew that if a certain song played, she was happy and I could maybe just be in the same room with her. I know her soundtrack for wanting to commit suicide. Her soundtrack for heartbreak. Her soundtrack for nigga, I got my paycheck or my welfare check and I'm about to fuck it up on a Friday and drink. I know her. My mother is music. And she's also becoming a memory in real time. Oh, I feel like I'm letting her down by not showing up, but she let me down by not showing up, so I guess it's checkmate. My sister said it back. She's like, if you don't choose you in this moment, you're never going to choose you, because you're just going to keep finding relationships where you have to do this thing. So not getting to see my mother before she dies is my lesson on choosing me. Thanks, Oprah. Thanks, Oprah. She says it starts with a whisper. Oprah says it starts with a whisper. And she put it under the guise of your calling or what you're supposed to do in a very, in my mind, I always interpret it creatively or in your career. She's like, it starts with a whisper. If you ignore that whisper becomes a tap, you know? That tap becomes a thud, and before you know it, it's a brick. And she was saying it like, your calling, what you're supposed to do, will become so loud that it's a brick. And I always attached it to my job and my career and how I want to, how I live in this media space and how I'm a Webby away and an Emmy away and all these things. I live there and I'm just like, how the fuck do I get there? I don't know how to get there, but I know that's where I'm supposed to go. So I'm just waiting for the thud. But it never dawned on me to apply that exact same logic to abuse, to neglect, to gaslighting. And what I'm feeling and what this is, I'm interpreting this as, I should have had these conversations with my mother a long time ago. You know, my sister says you can't have peace after she dies. You gotta do the thing now, whatever the thing may be. And because I refused to accept or allow myself to actualize my actual childhood, my actual adulthood, my anything, since knowing this woman, since coming out of her, I'm the world's greatest storyteller. Shonda Rhimes don't have shit on me, okay? But now there's no more story to tell. It's time to tell the truth. And the truth is, I can't tell if me not wanting to go see her is me actually choosing me, or me wanting to go see her is me choosing her because of her title and not the role she actually played in my life. But today I figured out my answer. I found out something so heinous today about her current state of being. I found out something so... I'm so angry. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. I am so... I could go kill her myself. I don't know why she has to keep making this harder. I don't know why she has to go out with such a bang. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because she's unwell and life has been hard and she's pathetic. She's lazy. She gave up so long ago. I'm stockholmed into loving the biggest boogeyman I've ever seen. And as I sit here, I want to fix my lips and say, but I still love her. I'm so mad at myself because I say, how can you love this person? And if you love her, of course you were in relationship after relationship that was terrible, because it wasn't as bad as that. At least they hugged you. At least they called you. At least they kissed you. Yeah, you were spending money, but at least they wanted you around in some way. The last time I saw my mother, we looked at each other in the eyes as if we almost knew.
I want to remember her as the woman who I saw with my own eyes get into a fight with a police officer, punch him in the face, and get to go walk back into her apartment. I would remember her as the woman who had no problem jacking up her car and getting underneath that bitch and changing a tire or doing something with the whatever the fuck you do in her car. I don't know. I don't drive because she terrified me out of it. But bitch, say less. I'm doing it now. My mother had a voice for radio. My mother is so smart. She is actually funny. She's a storyteller, but she's also very honest. Always has been. Even with saying, I don't want you. She didn't lie to me. That's when I know two things can exist. I think she's the world's greatest person and the worst. Should not be allowed to have a uterus. Mother in the world. And I'll never see her again. But I told her. I told her. I thought she was brilliant. I told her I think she's fun. I told her all the things I just told y'all. I've given all I have. I have nothing. I have nothing left to give. I got a gift to myself. And I've been given to myself, but I'm not going to feel like a burden to myself. She made me feel like a burden, even to me. Like, yeah, you did this. That's the least you could do. My whole life, every accomplishment, you could do more. You didn't do it perfect. You could have did it like that. Your path is a dumb path. If you would have just got your shit together, it would have been that path. No, you're fighting for your life, and you're bipolar, and you're fat, and you're unhealthy, and you're scared, and you don't even know that you're breathing. So as I sit here today, I didn't even know I could dream to be this person. I started saying that my wildest dreams, but that's a lie. There's no way in hell other than God in my pure strength. This is all me, nigga. This was me. I did this shit. I'm doing this shit. And I'm going to keep doing this shit. But now I'm going to be proud of me along the way. I'm so proud of me. Because if I had to have that person steer this in any fucking way, every suicide attempt would have only been one, because I'd have been successful. I'm not going back to see her. I'm not going to let her take me back to that girl, because I am this woman. And that is the most devastating example of growing pains. Welcome to season 4 of It's a Queer. These are the conversations I'm about to start having.